Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. You've reached Focus on Health Radio. I am your host, Pamela Crane. Focus on Health is a volunteer organization. We do not prescribe, recommend, or treat. Our radio show is broadcast strictly for educational purposes. Today's show is on depression. We will be covering physical aspects of depression as seen through holistic medicine, physical aspects as seen through conventional medicine, proven success, hope and upcoming methods, resources, and spiritual view. Today's speaker is Nancy Guberti, CHNMS. Nancy is a functional medicine specialist who has been in practice for over 15 years. Nancy is a GFCF diet specialist, functional medicine metabolic specialist, and a Defeat Autism Now practitioner. Feeling helpless and hopeless is real. It's real in depression. But guess what? There's a high probability of overcoming these feelings when one is proactive and takes deliberate steps. Let's start. Let's start taking this and going after it. Hi, Nancy. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. Such a great topic. It's so important.
Really, I know it. And it's so often misunderstood or one of those things that people feel like they need to hide or something like that. I know that's what I've seen often.
Yeah, it's considered the most dreaded condition of mankind. And many times it's devoid of hope in the minds of many who suffer with this global epidemic.
Yeah. Well, let's look at it from the physical aspects of holistic medicine. I think that it's so encouraging if people can really hear what you have to say. Let's start with holistic medicine.
Well, when we look at depression from a functional medicine standpoint and alternative and holistic, there are certain tests and certain labs that run functional medicine lab work that can show if there are certain markers that are imbalanced. And they're looking at neurotransmitter markers, the dopamine, norepinephrine, serotonin, and then the opposite of that is the excitotoxins. But they're also looking at certain B vitamins and certain C vitamins that tend to be deficient. And you also want to look at fatty acid oxidation. There was a psychologist who has been doing this for over 25 years, and he recently, 10 years ago, got into functional medicine. And he noticed that his patients who were not being able to absorb certain fats in their diet, they were clinically had a very low cholesterol, but they weren't absorbing the fats. And because of that, that threw off many of their markers. He had the opposite where there was elevated cholesterol and there was too much fat in the system and therefore not absorbing it as well. So he made this, you know, he saw this pattern and he actually helped his patients with a very alternative functional medicine type of approach. And then we have many who use nutraceutical regimens like homeopathic and other natural treatments to balance out neurotransmitters. So I think it's definitely something worth looking into. If someone is suffering from depression, they should ask their conventional practitioner if they could run some functional medicine lab test so they could see what their markers are. And if their conventional practitioner doesn't run those type of tests, then they might want to venture out and find a functional medicine practitioner who they could partner with and that the conventional practitioner can also work with. And, you know, these practitioners along with the patient can share the data and the information and then work out, you know, if they're on medicines, conventional medicines, and, you know, what natural remedies they can incorporate as well. You know, so this is something that we would never recommend someone doing on their own, especially if they are taking medications. You never want to wean yourself off of any antidepressants because that could have really bad results. So you always want to work with your practitioner, but it might very well be interesting to see if your neurotransmitters and the certain markers have improved since taking conventional medicine. So
now you're saying markers. I'm sorry to stop you right there, but for people who don't understand this and are not in our world, what does it mean to have a marker, and how dependable are those?
Well, I would definitely look at the neurotransmitter markers. And, you know, so these functional medicine labs have specific tests for anxiety, for depression, and then for overall functioning. So, you know, working with your conventional practitioner and a functional medicine practitioner, it would be good to identify the most comprehensive test that's going to show for anxiety, for depression, looking at the neurotransmitter markers, but also if one can absorb, you know, the fats, how is the methylation pathway marker, as well as the B vitamins and the vitamin C, you know, so those are really important. And it's something that it would be great if it could be all interactive among practitioners, because they do see a pattern with depression and with anxiety. There's a pattern of what markers get imbalanced. So, and then the stress is related, depression, anxiety, and stress. There's usually a tie in there, and then looking at the organs, you know, so we're looking at the brain, the thyroid gland, the adrenal gland, the immune system, the gut, which is your gastrointestinal tract, the liver, and how they function all together, as opposed to just saying what your symptoms are and then getting conventional medicine, you know, so it would be great to see, and there's many people who are on conventional medicine for depression for very, you know, many, many years, and they've never had a chance to look into, well, how is the body really functioning? Could there be something that I could do naturally to even enhance what conventional medicine is doing for me? So again, I would never say to anyone, oh, get off that medicine, because that would not be, you know, that's not the best thing for the person. But if the person is taking these different antidepressants and they could possibly be having adverse interactions with other things, or they're not at the level where they want to be, they might then want to take a step back and say, well, could there be a biomedical imbalance? Should I look further? You know, and then food is something so important as well. And I don't know if anyone's really looking at that, but, you know, our food has so much power over our life. It fuels everything we do, how we move, think, and breathe. And as far as mental health, food supplies the power to the brain, right? And there is a direct relationship to mental and emotional health and stability, you know, learning, memory, depression, schizophrenia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, or all of these conditions can really benefit from a very healthy eating regimen that supplies certain proteins, carbohydrates, omega-3 fatty acids, and it really does help. And then if one is eating so much processed food that has excitotoxins in it that actually kills our neurons, and if we don't have enough dopamine and serotonin to relax our body and we're having all of these excitotoxins, it could have really adverse reactions on our mental health. So I don't know. I would, you know, it would be great if conventional practitioner looked at, okay, every part of the person's lifestyle as far as a treatment plan. But most of the time what I see is that it's just medicine and not looking into other areas and even stress-reducing techniques. So really, our whole body is intertwined, and that's how the treatment should be.
No, it's like I know exercise and everything is considered in functional medicine as well, isn't it?
It is. So basically, you know, even mood disorders are multifaceted. So it includes biological, social, right, environmental, and lifestyle factors. And then obviously, nutritional status is one of the key factors in the proper brain development and normal cognitive function, right? So the quality of one's food intake has been long associated with common mental disorders of depression and anxiety, and certain nutrients have found to be particularly important in these two conditions. And basically, one would need sufficient levels of specific amino acids, right, that are required for the production of mood-regulating transmitters. So that's where the functional medicine test work would come in to check, okay, well, how are those mood-regulating neurotransmitters? Those are the markers that I was talking about. And then looking at the food to determine if the individual is getting specific amino acids. And then looking further and saying, well, there are relevant vitamins, your B6 levels, your B12, your folates, right? So how are those markers on the test? And when we talk about folate, we talk about methylation. So there's a whole part of methylation in one's body. You know, so people could be taking B6, B12, and folate, and they say, that didn't help. Yeah, but did your body break it down and absorb it? So these, you know, we have to really look again at the functioning. And then minerals of magnesium and zinc are cofactors required for critical enzyme function in those neurotransmitter pathways. So we have to look further into that, right? And then certain B complex vitamin families are involved in brain functioning that then go into the synthesis of these neurotransmitters. So it's chemistry. It's we have to look at everything. And then inadequate B12 or methylation and folate could contribute to mood instability. And one study showed that more than a quarter of individuals with depression were deficient also in B12. But, you know, this is the thing. If a conventional practitioner is running conventional labs, then they're not going to get the true answer. So that's a problem as well. So functional medicine is really going to pinpoint. If you're using regular labs, they're not specialized in this type of testing, right? And then magnesium levels, that's a really important mineral for so many things. And if one is deficient in that, it could lead to depression and anxiety, right? Zinc also is associated with mood disorders. And there were several studies that showed that zinc levels that were low were always involved with clinical depression, right? So these are several things that one could look at, but again, with a specialized lab. And then going further, we have vitamin D. Now, lately, some practitioners are checking for vitamin D when they do a CBC, a complete blood count. But vitamin D has been associated with depression and mood disorders, and research has repeatedly found that low vitamin D levels correlate with the greater risk of depression. So, you know, now we have so many things to look at, right? Not just neurotransmitters. We have the amino acids. We have the B vitamins. We have methylation. Now we have minerals, the magnesium, the zinc. Now we have the vitamin D. All of these things would be a comprehensive approach, and then looking at environmental and lifestyle and social, right? All of that would then come into a better treatment, or perhaps someone is on that treatment, and kudos to that practitioner. So really identifying what needs to support the neurotransmitter pathways to support optimal mood should be the role of functional medicine treatment and testing. So we need to look at those relevant pathways of neurotransmitters, and we want to upstream certain of those nutrients, such as the amino acids for the mood-regulating neurotransmitters, and downstream the ones that are causing excitotoxin. So you want to think of a seesaw. If you have one side of the seesaw that is so excited and killing off your neurons, and the other side of the seesaw, which is very calming to the body, you know, if the excitotoxins are stronger than the calming agents, that's going to throw off, and that would cause a biomedical imbalance.
Just the fact, and I don't want to interrupt and everything, but the thought is also to me just raging in my mind. What do people who are allergic to things? They can have really bad reactions and mood disorders, can't they? Like gluten,
yeah,
or.
100%. So that's why you want to look at what you're taking, what you're eating, what you're drinking, because if you have any food intolerance whatsoever, then it's going to cause inflammation in the gut lining. And we know that our gut is the core for exercise, right? That's why everybody's doing abs and all that stuff. But I think we seem to forget that the stomach, you know, the GI is the core for our health, our mental health, our physical health. It's the core for our adrenal system, our immune system, our stress. So it's very, very important to really look at how you're fueling the body, because how you fuel the body is how you fuel the adrenal system, how you fuel your brain as well, and your neurotransmitters. So that's important, yes, for sure. You know, and then sometimes there are side effects, right? And that's what one would have to check if what they're taking for conventional medicine is giving them a side effect. So that's why it would be nice to incorporate other things instead of relying so heavily on the conventional medicine. You know, for some people, it's the only thing that can save them from depression, or that's what they believe, and perhaps they haven't done any other testing or something. So, you know, this is where, wouldn't it be nice to look at other things that they could incorporate to complement the conventional treatment that they're doing? Or if they're not on any treatment yet, perhaps they want to look at functional medicine to help with their depression or anxiety. You know, the two of them go hand in hand many times, not all the time, but many times. Any mood disorder, you know, and that could be, you know, it's very sad. It's very sad to have this because you could look perfectly fine on the outside, but you having all of this internal torment on the inside. And
that's
what
right.
The whole thing about functional medicine is the testing will hopefully provide insight to the main underlying feature of what this disturbance is doing to this person's mood. What's the loss? What's causing this loss of interest in life or pleasure in normally enjoyable activities? You know, and lots of times there's decreased functionality, capacity, or the underlying presentations of a depressive disorder. So, you know, it's the quality of life, lost productivity, and currently it's estimated over $44 billion annually is happening with the loss of productivity and quality of life. And, you know, it's sad that there's so much of this going on, and are, you know, perhaps there's other treatments that can be incorporated. Again, in addition, and as a complement to conventional medicine, or perhaps for someone starting out first time at this, they want to try this as well, you know. So it's a big problem. Anxiety and depressive disorders comprise major mental health concerns in the U.S. adults, with about 28% experiencing these disorders during their lifetime. So, you know, you always want to, when you have any type of disorder, you always want to get to the underlying cause so it can be addressed and hopefully changed.
Conventional medicine approaches it differently than that. It would be nice if they would both work together.
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard. I haven't really seen very many conventional practitioners do functional medicine testing, unless they've had like some type of personal experience with it. Or like the psychologist that I was talking about who then got involved, you know, he went to a workshop and got involved in the Institute of Functional Medicine and said, you know, let me try this because I've been doing this for so many years and I know how far I get with an individual. Wouldn't it be nice if I could, yes, get them out of this state, but also really take them to a different level that I couldn't have taken them to? So it would be nice, but I don't usually see it many times. That's the problem. You know, and then stress management techniques and treatments, cognitive behavior treatment counseling is also another effective practice for stress management technique that could be learned pretty quickly. There are certain things that one can do, but then again, it all depends on the practitioner, what's in their bag, you know. Do they know about all these other treatments, or are they just going to take your blood test and then, you know, have an intake, give you medicine, and then how often are they going to follow up with you? Are they going to look at this cognitive behavioral treatment counseling? Are they going to, what stress management techniques and treatments? Are they asking you how your sleep is, your food, this, that, and who's going to provide accountability? So, you know, you could go to the doctor, you could have a great session, you could take your medicine, and then when's the next time do you see them? It's almost like you need a coach to look at every aspect of your lifestyle, right, and factor that in. So then you... It's just like if you're an athlete and you're being coached, right? You're learning new techniques to what is the ultimate goal? To be faster, to be better at something. So for this is to live in, to have a life where you're not anxious, you're not depressed, you're living life to the full. And that's what we would want for everyone. And that's the goal. For everyone to be happy, to love their life.
That's right. And let's talk about successes. Have you seen anybody go through this and have a success?
Well, for my own practice, I've seen individuals on both sides. I've seen individuals before they're thinking, I want to try something first, you know, otherwise I'm going to go the conventional medicine way. And I've had other individuals who are on conventional medicine and they want to find out, you know, well, how is their body operating and functioning, and is there anything I could do that will work with this? And then some have weaned themselves off with their practitioner. Again, I would never recommend doing that because they can start to get vertigo and they could get in a depressive state and everything else. You know, they have to be weaned off with their practitioner who put them on the medicine in the first place. You know, so some people love the being able to wean themselves off and going on, you know, more of a holistic approach. And some are, you know, they are really afraid because they don't want to take that plunge and they don't want to go back to the state they were in. So it really depends, and there's so many factors involved. There's so many factors.
Well, 20 years ago or more, probably 35, I don't want to tell my age, but anyway, I'm proud of my age anyway. But about that time, I had a hysterectomy from fibroids and went through a crash. I became just a terrible insomniac and had all of these hormones raging and everything. And I was blessed to go to a counselor who used holistic health. He not only gave me a technique to approach and combat this or support, he showed me how to do a log and what was being answered, what I needed to have answers, because it was like nobody was listening to me. So he just showed me I needed to log things, and I would pray over them, of course, because I'm a Christian. And seeing the answers were amazing. He also showed me things like 5-HTP, which to me was a godsend because I started sleeping. And the nutritional aspects of what he showed me were amazing. So I would wish that for everyone, you know, that they would find support, and also the fact that you have to look at everything through the whole body. So I would be a success story as far as that is concerned, because not sleeping is not fun, you know, and getting your hormone balance and your body in balance nutritionally is something that is like a life-changing situation, and I attest to that. So I agree. I am grateful for people like you, Nancy, that do this every day. I don't know how you do it, but and I'm grateful for Dr. David Neiman, who helped me originally and pointed those things out to me. So,
see, that's fantastic. Congratulations that you met them, you know? I mean, it's really... Yeah. You know, and then the person has to be open for it. But, you know, in this today's society, we're just always throwing medicines, you know, and that may be helpful, yes, right? Especially we don't want anyone to be suicidal, to live a depressed life. No, that's no fun. But I do believe that looking at the whole body functioning is the most important thing. And then you choose what, if you want to do conventional medicine, so be it, right? But you should still look at the nutrients that you're getting. You should still be able to determine if you're absorbing the fats and how your nutritional markers are and your neurotransmitters and methylation. It, you know, it's pretty important. Why not look at all of that?
That's right. So where are
but
the
you
resources?
Definitely need, you know, coaching and mentoring from, you know, and it might even be good to find a conventional practitioner who offers a coach or mentor. And for some people, support groups are great, but for some people, they're not. But then, you know, keeping a gratitude journal, laughter is one of the greatest medicines, right? Not laughing at yourself, obviously, or other people, but something, you know, enjoyable to laugh at. Lots of times people will binge eat because they're so depressed. You know, putting in a system to learn how to relax is important. Your thought control. Lots of times people use emotional freedom technique, because that whole learning to control the thoughts for many people is the heart and soul of overcoming anxiety and depression, right? So our mind is like a muscle, and are we using it in a positive way? If we don't, it degresses and it goes into negativity, pain, and depression. So how do we control our thoughts to be more positive, to replace those negative thoughts with positive thoughts? Many people find success with emotional freedom technique, EFT, and you would go to a specialized practitioner for that. So it could be a combination of different things. that one is using, as opposed to just one way. There's not just one way. There's always many ways, you know, to skin a cat. So there's many ways to overcome anxiety and depression if one is taking conventional medicine or not. You know, they definitely should look at what they're eating. They should look at this thought control, their exercise, you know, who they're around, doing self-study, knowing yourself is the beginning of all wisdom, Aristotle said, right? There's so many, and having some type of prayer, well, that would be great, you know. so we have to provide hope in overcoming this.
Well, you feel,
and it's something that has to be worked on, you know, every day. Some people, yeah, it has to be worked on every minute of every day. You know, it, yeah, really... It all depends on the individual, the circumstances. This is why I don't believe in any, you know, protocol the same for everyone. We're all different. Yeah. It doesn't matter even, yeah, just the sex is male or female or how much one weighs or how the body is functioning. We all came to life at this point with different baggage, you know, different past experiences and different mindsets to those experiences. So that also has to come into that has to be part of this, factored in to recover.
Yeah, for me it was really just an eye-opening thing to journal everything and to see where I'd been and how I'd improved and where I was going, and it was like an inch at a time, you know, but it eventually all became better. So for me, it was the writing down and praying over it and then seeing what the answers were, that there were real answers and that I was really overcoming, that I had been there and I was going here. And like you say, for everyone is different. So there are different resources for this, Nancy. So can we give some resources to people as far as the testing, maybe where to find the practitioner that would do this, some of the resources?
Well, I would just recommend the testing because, you know, with conventional practitioners, there's also alternative practitioners that don't know what they're doing either.
Yeah. Yeah.
If one wanted functional medicine testing, I mean, the best is to, if you Google functional medicine testing for depression, you can come up with several labs. So there's a neuroscience lab. There's Genova, which is merged with Metametrics. And then there's Great Plains. So depending on what state you live or what country you live will dictate what you're able to test for when it comes to depression or anxiety. So that's one thing. And then if you are on medication, you always want to check with your practitioner before even trying anything, any natural supplements. And if your practitioner doesn't know, you know, you have to take it a step further. And I would highly recommend also, if one does their own research, or really to sit down with someone in your practitioner's office to make sure that there are no interactions. And then, you know, eating a healthy, balanced diet is going to be important. Looking at what type of fats you are eating, are they healthy fats? And then journaling would be great, even if you journaled, you know, how you felt that day, how you started that day, what type of stress reduction, emotional freedom technique is something that can help, and that's EFT. So if you typed in EFT, that's emotional freedom technique, and you could look for practitioners for that. And they, you know, usually there's a lot of practitioners in every state and every city, and you can do it in person, and you could also do it through Skype or Google as well. So it would be great if you found someone local to do that with you with. It was founded by a gentleman by the name of Gary Craig. But it really has helped many people for the thought side. So I would really take the depression and anxiety on from many areas. I would look at your food intake. I would definitely get some functional medicine testing, like you mentioned before, if there's any food intolerances. It doesn't have to be a food allergy like an anaphylactic reaction. Even if it's a food intolerance or a delayed reaction, and you say, you know, I get headaches from that, I feel sluggish after that, you know, my mood changes after that, then you want to, I would just go on an elimination diet and avoid it for 2 months, but journal. And then if you do reintroduce it, then, I mean, if you feel good for those 2 months, I wouldn't reintroduce it. But if you do, then also keep track of how you feel after that. Exercise routine. What type of exercise are you doing? You know, I worked with a gentleman who had severe anxiety, and he was very severe with anxiety. He was also depressed, and he was doing too much of a rigorous exercise routine. It actually made it worse. And then when he changed, you know, he had a personal trainer for like, I don't know, 9 months, and he was just so bad. And it really enhanced all the conditions. And then when he went back to what he had enjoyed, which was just jogging for several miles a day, he realized that that other part was stressing his body out too much. It was too strenuous. So you really want to look at, perhaps you're not doing, you know, some people don't do any physical activity when they're depressed. So you want to look at that, and what are you gravitating to, and what cravings do you have? And then who do you hang, you know, who are in your inner circle? Do you have an inner circle? So sometimes if one is very depressed, they push everybody away. They can't find pleasure in anything. You know, and those are the ones that you want to be concerned with as well. And then if one is doing any recreational drugs or drinking while on medication, you know, depending on your practitioner, one practitioner may say, oh, it doesn't matter. Well, you know, be cognizant of how you feel with that too, because it actually may matter. So you have to look at your lifestyle altogether. And then, you know, do you have anything, any type of foundation, spiritual foundation? You know, so I don't judge anybody. I don't tell anybody what to do. But in times of struggle, sometimes it's very hard to go alone. And that's why you would go to a practitioner, right? So you want to look at that as well, even for spirit. You know, if you're having a struggle, who can you or what can you turn to? And if you journal about all of this and you share that with a practitioner, I think that you'd be able to also uncover possibly future treatments just from your lifestyle.
I'm so glad you brought up too much exercise. That was going to be one of my questions, because I live in an area now where it's body beautiful. And some of the people here, I just shake my head, and I've told them, work out 2 times a day, rigorous, hard workouts, and then also jog and walk. And I said, you know, you're burning muscle. Don't they burn muscle when they do that? And you're defeating yourself, because they, quite frankly, they don't look any better. And they're, to me, overdoing it, and they are not happy people. They're not happy. So I think, you know, that under-exercise is bad, and over-exercise is like a killer.
Yeah, I mean, don't they always say moderation for everything, right? So you want to really look at that. If the exercise isn't doing you justice, isn't really helping ground you and stabilizing you, then you might want to find something else. I mean, I think yoga is one of the best exercises because, you know, I mean, if you even think of some of the poses, they're very grounding, you know, and you really have to quiet your thoughts and mind to stay in these certain poses, and it's really healthy for one's body as well. I'm not talking about the hot yoga, you know.
Well, I watch these people who are working out two or three times a day, and they're running and walking on top of it. They never stretch. They never breathe.
Oh.
And they never do the kinds of things where you are communicating with, you know, the creator of the universe, or just stretching out in between extensive movements, you know. They don't do it. And I just cringe, you know, because I think that's the beautiful thing about exercise, is how you can stretch and almost dance with what you do. I love that aspect of it.
Definitely. I would definitely, you know, if someone hasn't done yoga, I would definitely look into it, because it does help with, there are certain poses that help with depression and anxiety. And, you know, we don't want anyone to suffer in silence and just think that this is the normal way to live. So there have been studies that showed that the GABA levels increased after a session of yoga, and GABA is a neurotransmitter, which inhibits nerve transmission to the brain, resulting in calming and quieting of the mind. So I would definitely look into yoga. There's five poses that they say really help with depression. One is the forward fold. One is head to knee forward bend. One is the cobra. One is the bridge. Even the warrior poses are very grounding. I mean, if you're advanced, you could do a supported headstand, because that's supposed to help your brain cells with the supply of blood and everything. I wouldn't recommend that. But the other poses are very easy to do. And, you know, so I
can
perhaps...
Can you do that one? Can you do the headstand?
I supported, yes, but I'm not a fan of it.
Oh, my God. You're a real
but,
woman. I'm telling you.
You know, I would definitely look into that. And lots of, you know, there's yoga centers that may have a class specific for depression. Again, you know, as I said before, it all depends on the practitioner you find. Well, it also depends on the yoga teacher that you find. So you would want to make sure there's a chemistry and all of that. But there is a science behind that. So I would definitely look into that as well.
That's especially awesome. I want to give, if you don't mind right now, give some crisis center hotline phone numbers, and I will be posting them. I'm going to go in and post them on the show. I think I should do that, post the hotline centers. Some of them are 24-hour. You can just call and talk to them. Some of them are for someone who's really in crisis and really needs to talk to someone, which would be the National Suicide Hotline. And the others are not 24/7, but they're just warm talk, having someone to talk to. A lot of times they feel like people need that. So do you mind if I give those out real quick, Nancy?
I think that's great.
Okay. Newport Crisis Hotline, it's 24 hours. It's local to me. I'm sorry I didn't get New York across the U.S., but I think our cell phones do that. It's 714-639-4673, and they're 24 hours, and it's New Hope Crisis Hotline. National Suicide Line is 24 hours. It's 800-273-8255. The Warm Talk Line is 10 to 3 every day, and it's just a place to call and talk with someone. It's 877-910-9276. And for families of those who are going through depression, there's a 24-hour hotline called NAMI. You call and ask for the families of those going through depression. It's 800-950-6264. And Saddleback of Orange County is a church office, if you are inclined to that. It's a warm line, and they have kind of like a minister of the day thing. So you have to ask to talk to someone, and I'm not sure of their hours. I think they're office hours. It's 949-609-8000. And I will post these on the show when we put it up online. There you have it.
That's great. That's really good. You know, no one should ever suffer alone and not reach out. So many people are experiencing this, and even sometime in their life can experience it. So, you know, the best thing is really to get help.
Yes. And there is hope, and there is great probability that you can get better and that you will. And you just need to be proactive, right, Nancy?
Exactly.
And those around you, I mean, I am just grateful that I had someone around me that was proactive. So I know there's a spiritual view. I would kind of like to say this, and then I'll let you close, Nancy. There are so many beliefs that rage in our culture about depression. I mean, no one should be guilted while trying to overcome depression. Depression is not a spiritual disorder, emotional dysfunction, or a reflection of how much faith one has, if you are inclined to that. A relationship with God, however, through prayer, worship, and fellowship brings peace, hope, and often answers and healing. I've found that. And I do believe that God's word is a weapon against these kind of things. Some may not. I do. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But those who wait on God shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I'm not getting hyper-religious on everyone, but a relationship is a whole lot different than religion. And when you take this part of God's word, hold it up to Him when you're doing your journaling, "I believe this, show me this in my life." He is always faithful. And it proves that He's really there. So there is someone else who's there. And that's my input on that. We hear you and we care. We've done this so that you won't have to go floundering around everywhere and feel hopeless and feel like there's no direction for you to go. Nancy, would you like to say something else anymore?
I would just keep in mind that mood disorders, anxiety, depression is multifaceted, and it does include biomedical, environmental, lifestyle factors, as well as nutritional status. And to look at all of these factors is the best treatment. And Pam mentioned several ones, the journaling, spirituality, you know, I like how you say relationship, not religion, you know, so pick something that you can find comfort in and look at every aspect of your life, your food, your relationships, get some functional medicine testing to look at biomedical imbalances, look at environmental, social, lifestyle, and really take this head on, because your health and your life is worth it, because you're worth it. And whatever, what's holding you back, also identify what self-sabotage is going on and what can hold you back. The roadblocks must be identified so you could eliminate them as well. And, you know, Pam and I do this for you, for every one of you, for you to reach your optimal health goals and your optimal lifestyle.
That's so awesome. And I'd like to add, too, like Nancy said, I tried a couple times to find a counselor and was not satisfied until I found the one that I really liked and who did approach things the whole body view. Same things with practitioners, right, Nancy? It doesn't mean that you have to be put in a box and have to have the one. You have to kind of look, even with holistic practitioners. I know you are someone, Nancy, that I would send people to, but I have heard of people who have had aren't such so satisfied with a holistic practitioner and they've had to look around. So, and just the, when years and years and years ago, there was such a stigma about going through these kind of things that it was really a breakthrough to find someone who looked at the whole all over thing. Nowadays, and you've laid it out for everyone, Nancy, so that they can be helped. And you have so much available to you. Functional medicine testing wasn't even around then. And I knew that everybody's bodies were different. So that is a huge step for everybody. And like the allergy testings, I punched in on Genova depression. And there was a list of tests, and you call markers, tests for markers that they had on there. You wouldn't have found that 20, 30 years ago. And I was just so blessed by seeing that, which shows that there's so much hope for everybody. And you can get well. I understand that there are people who are bipolar. They have very large chemical imbalances in the brain, and they have a continual struggle. And Nancy, could you speak to that a little bit?
About the continual struggle?
Yeah, with the bipolar situation. And
yeah, so if there's a biomedical imbalance, and it's not addressed, but perhaps conventional medicine may mask the symptoms but still not correct the imbalance, that is, that could turn into a cycle as well. So, you know, this is where you have to be so cognizant of how one is feeling when you are being put on your treatment plan, so you could get the best treatment
for you. Yes,
and
to be aware of that instead of just saying it's not there. I think the first thing is saying, okay, I'm journaling, it's here. You know, it's real.
Exactly. What we always have to accept, if we're in denial, we're not going to be able to address anything.
Yeah. And just like you said, with the things that we do, we all have our little things. Like with me, it's IT. And my good friend Nancy says, can you drink 3 waters in between each glass of iced tea? Because I know that it depletes the potassium, dehydrates you, and all that stuff. However, it has good effects, right, if you do a little bit. So, and you see people with who drink a lot, and you see their poor hands, they reach out to do something, and they're just shaking. And my first thought is always, oh, my gosh, those people need vitamin B and whatever else. They're just absolutely sucking out of their body.
Exactly. Exactly. And we don't put the two and two together, but we need to.
Right. And
we
and
really
we're not saying be purist. You know, I'm not, you know, we understand that and I think that the cool thing about you, Nancy, is that you've always said replace a good thing for the things that you want, such as sugar cravings or whatever. Why not find a organic beer and, you know, take your vitamin Bs, get your levels done, and for whatever you're depleting, replace.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know what? Do it one step at a time. Otherwise, you're going to get so overwhelmed, you're not going to do anything. And that's bad.
That's right.
So you have to really take everything one step at a time and know that you can do it. But that's why you want to identify what could sabotage this.
That's right. Well, we are finished. And I want to thank you, Nancy. Would you like to give a blessing to everybody or close us in?
Well, thank you for having me. And again, I just would hope that everybody realizes they have the power within them to look at a comprehensive treatment plan and look at all factors of their lifestyle and that they are worth it to reach their optimal goals, really, in life, for health, happiness, and so on.
Thank you, Nancy. I want to thank you for doing this. And it is exactly what you say. It's our gift to everyone. They are our hearts. And we pray that God's richest blessings will pour over their lives and that they'll break out of the box that they feel like they're in and see that there is hope. That's our desire. Okay, Nancy, we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Good night.